like an exercise a dog and then go to dinner. Have you been to Sean Carlos recently?
Not about a month.
Good evening, and welcome to the specially scheduled Thursday, May 21st Recreation and Parks Department meeting. Thank you very much. At this time, I'd like to call the meeting to order and have the Pledge of Allegiance. One moment. I'm sorry. Did I miss roll call? No, the pledge is before roll call. Are we going straight to roll call?
No, we can do the pledge if you'd like to. We can just get up and face.
I don't really see a flag.
Will you hang this one up?
Please rise, audience. Thank you.
Ready? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Thank you, Commissioner Mahan. Okay, roll call.
Good evening. Chair Solu?
Present.
Vice Chair Hale?
Here.
Commissioner Mahan? Commissioner Munoz? And Commissioner Hagel?
Here.
Let the record show we have two commissioners that called that could not make it this evening, Commissioner Crowley and Commissioner Hensley.
Okay, at this time I'd like to open it for commissioner reports, presentations, and announcements. Any from the floor? No? Okay.
So basically, if you are very, very novice at walking or trail walking, then this would be a prescription for you. If you're getting back into fitness, if you have any kind of concerns about walking, see your doctor. But for the most part, these are available at most doctors' offices, and we'll be distributing these once again, kind of like a second reload in the doctors and medical offices, to help them facilitate recreational programs and exercise programs for their patients. So that's June the 6th, the Saturday, and it's National Trails Day. And if you can't get out there and volunteer and work on the trail and improve the trail, go out there and take a trail hike. So, thank you.
Thank you. Back to Commissioner Mahan. She has two announcements.
Thank you, Chair Solu. I just realized that on Saturday is open the first day for the Morbay Trolley. So the trolley is back on schedule Saturday morning. So that's exciting. The trolley will be running from starting Saturday all the way through October. So I just thought I'd highlight that. And I wanted to make a brief comment. On Wednesday, I attended the seniors' dance. They meet every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. And I have to say it was amazing. If anyone has time to participate, it was the funnest event. There's a great band playing. They dance salsa, polka, line dancing. It was fabulous. I mean, I can't say enough good about it. It was really fun. The seniors dance. Oh, it's at the Vets Hall on Surf Street, right here where we meet. And it's every Wednesday from 11 to 2 p.m. Really, really fun. Yeah.
Very good. Thank you. Anyone else? Okay. Then, now that we have all the commissioners' reports and there's no action, we'll move to a public comment period. Members of the audience wishing to address the commission on any matters other than public hearing items may do so at this time. If you would please keep your comments to 3 minutes. Seeing no one step up, I would assume you're all here for the public hearing item. Okay. And we will move to the consent calendar. Is there anybody who would like to pull anything from the consent calendar, which is A1, A2, A3, and A4? Would anybody like to pull anything for review? Then I would like to hear a motion at this time to approve A1 through A4 for...
Motion to approve A1 through A4 for file.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? None. Terrific. Okay, and now we will move to B. These are our public hearing items tonight, and we have a review of the master fee schedule, which I think is probably going to be a lengthy conversation. We also have B2, which is the review of construction and maintenance MOU for the dog park between Morro Bay Pups and the City of Morro Bay. And I believe we have some folks sitting in the audience waiting for that one to come up. So if somebody would be interested.
I'd like to make a motion to switch items B1 and B2.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? None. Okay, then we switch them. Okay, so let's look at B2 first, and that is the review. And for that, the review of the dog park MOU, I'll turn it over to Joe Woods.
Good evening, Chair Solo and Commission. B2 is a review of the Memorandum of Understanding between the City of Morro Bay and the Morro Bay Pups for the construction, maintenance, and operations of the Del Mar off-leash dog area. And you can recall that previously, the MOU between the two organizations was brought to City Council, and that was approved, and the city started working with the pups for the permits for the dog park and also the amendments to the general plan. We have successfully completed that, and now in the next phase, which that MOU requires a follow-up MOU to discuss the construction, the maintenance, and the operation. This agenda item reflects City Council's goal to encourage community involvement, volunteerism, participation, and contributions. And earlier, before the meeting started, I passed out an outline of City Council's goals for the upcoming year. Those are prioritized, and staff will continue to apply those goals to staff reports as they are appropriate. So in this particular case, it is appropriate that we encourage involvement, particularly from special interest groups like the pups, who are very motivated on this project. The fiscal impact of this project at this time has maintenance must be established. Staff is recommending the commission review the presented MOU between the City of Morro Bay and the pups for the construction, operation, and maintenance, and provide staff with recommendations to present to City Council. That concludes my report. I'd be ready to answer any questions you have at this time.
Questions for Mr. Woods?
No, I have no questions. In the whereas, the items seem to cover everything that we need to. It's on page 4 up on top, the work construction that may be performed. And phases approved by the director, will those come by the commission before you approve them, just to give us an FYI as to where it's at, what stage it's at, and where you're going, what you're going to approve, so that we could be in the loop?
Yes, thank you, Commissioner Munoz. To answer your question, the permit itself is not a phased permit. It's a complete permit. The the reason why you see this phasing in here is because they're unsure of if there's more revenues or more funds to be generated. They want to make sure that they can complete something, that it's operational, and then go on to the next. If they don't have enough, then that phase is going to stop. The phase doesn't mean that we can keep adding to the project. It basically means that, hey, this is what we're going to be doing at this area. We have enough funds, and at the end of this, it will be either operational or it will be safe, or it will be some kind of a termination point where we can continue on.
Exactly. That's just what I mean, just to keep us where it's at.
And what we want, and what we plan on bringing back to the commission is are a lot of things. There's a lot of things in here that are approved by the director, and such as the rules, and we get down in there and, you know, operations, the second paragraph is rules. I will be generating those rules and bringing them for discussion to this commission. I'd like to get a nice packet together of the things that we're going to be doing out at the dog park, bring them here, kind of flush out any problems you might have, and then move forward. The project, once it gets going, once this construction, it's going to move rather rapidly. And we don't want to hinder this operation by nitpicking at certain things. We have quite a bit of opportunities for rules and type of equipment, type of furniture, and those kind of things that we want to make sure when they're put in and there's a high quality, there's service behind them, it's going to be aesthetically pleasing, it's going to be operationally functional, efficient. There's a lot of things we look at. And we've looked at all different dog parks. And we're continuing to get, at my level, dog park articles that explain some of the pitfalls in some of the dog parks. And it seems to me what we've approached so far that we're right on the money, that we are definitely gearing ourselves up for success, and that if we could include the commission on some of the bigger things like the rules and possibly what type of phasing it's going to be. I don't project this to be a whole lot of phase-in, phase-out project. I'm really anticipating one big push and then some supplemental additions when there's a bench or a box to hold some equipment or something like that in. So that's what I'm anticipating. So if that answers your question, we can move on.
Sure.
Okay.
Any other questions for Mr. Woods?
No.
So shall I open it up then to, before we make a motion, I need to open it up to members of the audience. If you'd like to make a public comment on the dog park MOU, B2, then you may step forward and address us. Please make sure to state your name. And if you could try and hold it to 3 minutes, that would be great. But any comment from the audience? No? Seeing no one step forward then? Pardon me?
I'm sorry. We're just here.
Oh, okay. They're just here. They're supporting. Okay. All right. Okay, then we'll go ahead and close public comment. And
May I add one thing, Chair
Yes,
Sullivan?
You may.
Thank you very much. In the MOU, I believe it is on page 3, third paragraph up from the bottom, it states that there's going to be some insurance provisions and that I should provide the standard.
Terrific. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? None. The dog park MOU passes. Okay. Moving right along, we will move to back to B1, the master fee schedule. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Have a nice night. We'll move back to B1, the review of the master fee schedule. And for this, I will again turn it over to Mr. Woods.
Thank you and good evening again, Commission. B1 is a continued review of the department's master fee schedule. Tonight, staff is asking the Commission to review the current proposed master fee schedule options and provide staff with a recommendation to present to City Council. And the presentation at City Council will be done through finance, and I believe that's scheduled for the June 22nd meeting. Staff is including reference to the currently adopted goals of City Council and those I brought to you earlier in this meeting. Therefore, the agenda item is part of the annual review process and is related to City Council's number one priority goal, which is to develop and maintain a structurally sustainable budget. And we feel that improving your master fee schedule to increase cost recoveries in direct and indirect certainly pertain to that goal. Staff's position and commission had shown some concern in the last discussion regarding the master fee schedule and nonprofit organizations, and staff's position is that the importance of nonprofit organizations within this community is incredibly important. What they do, whether they're a church group or service group or just a nonprofit organization providing services to their constituents in the community at large, there's program services, and there's usually is donations to various causes. So we find that they're super important in the community, and those relationships we're trying to partner up with now very aggressively. So yes, we do hold a high regard to all nonprofit organizations. Our intent here isn't to increase the fees in a negative way towards them. And I thought that Commission had brought up the idea we should be supporting nonprofit groups and not increasing their rates, and we do support them. I want to make sure that was clear to Commission. However, we are asking for a fee increase in one of the options, and the reason why we feel it's justified is that these organizations, they're more than just a resident group. They're an organized group of people with a common goal generally. They have the ability to raise money as a 501c3, whereas residents would not. And so with the fundraising ability and their ability to attract volunteers and have that common goal is a reason why we felt that any kind of increase would probably be more absorbed with those organizations than they would with any others. On April the 2nd, 2009, at your regular meeting, you reviewed three options, two different combinations of various groups averaging their assessed fees, as well as a continued use of the current fee schedule. So you have a couple that we put together and one that hasn't been changed. We also included an option for an annual fee adjustment factor linked to the Consumer Price Index. Please keep in mind staff has also proposed the elimination of a one-day use reservation. And we also included various additional fees, which are on the right-hand border of your particular spreadsheets. Both actions would certainly increase the city's ability to recover direct as well as indirect costs. After the initial review, commission staff was directed to expand the presented options and return to you, which we have tonight, with a spreadsheet outlining the various fee schedule options. The attached spreadsheet outlines the new options and also illustrates the fees to be assessed for each group priority. So instead of just saying we're going to increase them by so much in the CPI, we've included those in your report. I'm going to conclude my report at this time. I'd like to open it up for questions, and particularly a more detailed review of particular options that are in your spreadsheet. Thank you.
Okay. First of all, so that the public at home can see what we're reviewing, would it be possible to get a copy up on the overhead? Maybe. Hang on 1 second, everybody.
I have an extra copy of last meeting's fee schedule. I kind of need to hang on to mine right now.
Actually, once it's up, we can all see it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Can someone spare a copy, Jen?
I can.
Can you share with John? I'm interested to know whether or not staff had a preference for any of the options presented here today. Is there any... and if there is a preference, what was the reasoning for that preference?
Thank you, Commissioner Mahan. Our staff's preference is to increase our cost recovery. So I can't say that I want you to vote for option 1, 2, or 3. I think that that's, I would be a little bit biased if I tainted the waters like that. I think that bringing in something fresh, obviously, I like the idea of combining some priority groups. Mm-hmm. Instead of leaving them as four, if I felt that we could leave the four priority groups there, I would have. But I really wanted to see something different, a little something that's more a modern, a little easier to present to the public. Obviously, trying to get increased fees, mm-hmm. but not hurting the participants or the client, so they keep coming back. We can't price ourselves or construct this ourselves out of business. So I would say that our preference is certainly one of these options, but not what we're currently doing.
Right. And again, just to for informational purposes, these fees have not been raised in the past 8 years. Is that correct? Or I can't remember the exact number of years, but it has been a while.
It has been a while. I think it's been less than 8 years. I think that half of these parks were adjusted. We've done some adjustments, I think, in 4 or 6 years in the back.
Maybe 5, 6 years.
Yeah, but it hasn't been a major change. And that was part of the staff's reasoning on tying this to a CPI, what other fee structures are tied to, whereas they could go up on an annual basis without major review by your commission. So staff feels that these fees are ready to be adjusted, and as we compare them to other cities that you saw in your first report from the previous meeting, that even with an increase, a combination and increase of fees, you're still well within the margin of acceptable fees throughout this county.
Joe, besides the one-day fee, what was the other thing? I'm sorry, I didn't catch that you wanted. Suggested.
There were several things that differ from the current fee schedule that we're proposing. Obviously, the most relevant is the combination of user groups into options 1 or 2. The additionals would be the additional fees on the side of your master fee schedule. We've added some things, and I'll tell you what we have added. Some things that are already existing are the deposit, the setup and breakdown fee, the setup and breakdown fee for the stage at the Betz Hall. These are all current fees. A new proposed fee that staff would like your recommendations on would be the janitorial fee for per event, basic cleanup, non-refundable fee, an unscheduled overtime if, in fact, the group was presenting a condition that we had to bring somebody in on a call out. Your agreement with our bargaining unit is 4.5 hours of automatic overtime, and we would like to transfer that on to the group that's caused that call out. And without it on the master fee schedule, we do not have the ability to assess that fee. The rental attendant fee has generally been absorbed within the use fee, and we feel that we need to isolate that out and try to recuperate those direct costs of staff. Security guards, we're getting more and more events that warrant security guards. The city ordinance mandates a security guard anytime there's live music for the purpose of dancing. So anytime that happens, we always bring in a security guard. They are $20 an hour. We transfer that fee right on to the user group. Oftentimes, we'll assess a particular event as a high-risk event, and then we will put on a security guard. If it is, if it's 200 plus with alcohol, with mixed age groups, and one rental attendant's just not going to be enough supervision. So for safety of staff and property, we put on a security guard. And right now our current group that's using this Quality First, and they've been doing an outstanding job for us.
Question on that, if I could interject. On the security guard, is there a hard and fast rule again? I mean, in thinking about how the public can easily digest, okay, what's my ultimate cost going to be if I want to rent a space? Is there a hard and fast rule on when the security guard is required? Again, you talked about if there's live music. And then is it also, like, what if there's just alcohol and no live music? Or, I mean, is it pretty hard and fast?
to price them out, but we have to, again, provide for safety. Most times when we put a security guard on, the applicant is very appreciative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the intent is simply to say, you know, how do we help the public understand without having to place four phone calls into the Rec and Parks Department saying, can you clarify, is it this needed or that needed? I mean, just, you know, as much as we can do to help articulate the additions of the additional fees or help somebody figure out, okay, this was going to cost me, obviously saves that, you know, those extra phone calls. So yeah. Just looking at it from that point of view.
They would be, I would agree with you on a lot of these additional fees, but for the security guard, oftentimes they pretty much know in their hearts what kind of event they're going to have and what kind of risk they're talking about.
Sure.
The next three are, one's an insurance requirement, and that is something that's standard now. Most groups buy their insurance through the City of Morro Bay. We have two companies that we offer premiums to from, and the minimum is $88, and I think the most premium has been, well, there's been some, the most standard one's about $155. There's been a surf contest who they picked up insurance through us, and it's close to about $1,000. Still below what they can get on the open market. So we're very reasonable and competitive when it comes to the insurance premiums. There is a permit processing fee. This is something that staff picked up as we compared our fees with other cities throughout the county, and a lot of them were charging the permit processing fee. We're adding it in here for your consideration. And then we have a standard cancellation fee that has been in place forever, which is a 20% cancellation fee on all events. So those are some of your additional fees. And we also, Commissioner Munoz had asked for consideration of tying the CPI for an annual adjustment to this master fee schedule.
Any other questions for Joe?
So just to re-clarify, the recommended on this new one, you have recommended up on top, the option one plus CPI. We want to move towards like the option one where we combine, and staff feels better that's more easier to maintain versus the four separate fees?
The answer to your question, in a short answer, yes,
okay.
We are.
Okay.
And I just do a quick little explanation. The current fee is on the first column. We added the CPI. We rounded it off just for ease for financing. You know, we're not going to get back, you know, 38 and 37 cents. So we've rounded that down to $38 even. Because we've been there before, and the rounding is definitely more efficient. And then you have option one, which is the combination of the existing groups, the first two and the second two, their average fee. We added the CPI, and then we rounded it to the nearest dollar. That's option one. So that's option one, was a combination of the groups averaging the fee assessed, and then rounding it off. And you can see it's right there in the option one. If you look back at current rate, the resident for the auditorium is paying $45. That fee has not changed in option one for the resident group. It has increased by $11 for the nonprofit group. See, and that's what we had talked about earlier about the nonprofit group and resident mm-hmm. groups. And I know there's been, and certainly would want some further discussion. And then option two combines the first three groups, and singles out the profit-making organization, leaving them at a higher price, combining the other three. Currently, it's $48 for the auditorium if we do that. We include the CPI, which we brought back to 2006, and then the recommendation is $54. So there you'll see that there's a non-resident gets a reduced rate of $10, the resident gets an increase of $9, and the nonprofit organization gets an increase of $20. So there's still quite a bit of gap there, I mean, for that particular, from the current fees to the proposed fees in option two. So that would be something to consider. So you have the options of leaving it the way it is and increasing it by the CPI, option one and option two. And any other options that you may want to think the staff needs to consider bringing to City Council?
Go ahead, Judy. Can I make a comment? Okay, go ahead, Judy. So I just had a suggestion. I think it's something I had brought up at the last meeting, but I think our heads were getting a little fuzzy towards the end of our discussion. So with a clear head, as far as numbers are concerned, it would mean for the auditorium keeping the fee at 45 for the nonprofits and the residents, and then bring the fee to 105 for the non-residents and the for-profits instead of the 89.
I also hit a wall. I see what you're saying.
Do you see? Does that make sense?
You're talking about more of an incremental increase for everybody.
Right.
Instead of, because it doesn't look quite rational to have one group get a benefit. I mean, because it looks like at the end of the day we're trying to, your goal overall is to get cost recovery. So if you, the way that this is getting sliced and diced, if you include more people at a cheaper price, the other guy gets hit harder. And so you're trying to ultimately keep those equal. But at the same time, if you're looking at it from the user groups, it doesn't probably stack up quite as well to go, why is profit getting a discount and I'm paying more?
And in the suggestion I just made, it would leave our residents where they're at 45, which I like the idea of leaving them right at 45, and there's no increase for residents. A slight increase for the nonprofits, but it's a fairly minor increase. And again, the nonprofits are our main users, and that's the group that we want to give the most advantage to if we can, but not bring the fee down for the for-profits and the non-residents. Just keep it at the 100, the recommended option 2 price of 105.
I would agree with you. The only thing that I see that there may be fault in that is that the non-residence fee would increase over 50%. It would go up from $64. It would go up by $41, and
right.
That's a whopping.
If you look at our pie chart, though, our non-residents are 11% users. Half of the residents, it's our smallest group using our facilities, are the non-residents.
Right.
May I add a comment, please? You're right, and there are other things to consider when you talk about non-residents. And when non-residents come to town, they generally need a place to stay, need a place to eat. So they are contributing to not only your sales tax, but also your transit occupancy tax. Mm-hmm. So when we benefit the TOT and the sales tax, then maybe 100% cost recovery, what's not going to be obtained here is 100%, but maybe we can offset that percentage by what we're contributing to those sales tax and TOT. So that would be something to consider. Mm-hmm. I'd like to take a time to tell you what profit-making groups actually have met in the last 8 to 9 months. And basically, you have three groups that use the kitchen. There are profit-making organizations. Through our fee schedule, through a regular facility user group, and with a deal we've struck with Chai Tea, Something's Cooking, Elemental Herbs, the fee is $10 an hour for those groups to come in and use our kitchen, which is basically sitting dormant if they weren't using it. So we're trying to encourage that individual small business to be successful in town, and I think that the folks who have utilized our kitchen for that purpose have been successful. Mm-hmm. I know Slow Chai has been very successful. The other profit-making groups that we've used that have used our facility are just the ones I've explained, as well as the miniature and dollhouse show, and that is in February, and it was a 3-day event. The only other profit-making organization is DPI West, and they have a vendors fair here in December. And they bring all their vendors here because they love to go to the Light of Bill Parade afterwards. So it's kind of something they wouldn't generally do in this area because it's a regional meeting. But we know this individual who's the regional manager, and he lives in Morro Bay, and he likes to bring his trade show or his little vendor show here. So that's about it. So when you look at the percentage and the number of groups who are using this who are nonprofit and profit, the profit organization sounds like you're giving them a big break. There's not a big break.
No, I see what you're
There's
saying.
Not a bit, much a big money. You're not saving much at all. Fact is, if it was slightly down, we may get a few more, one or two more. Realize they're on the top end of this program, of this master fee schedule. So I had staff print out the number of profit-making organizations that use our facilities, and it's very, very limited. And for the most part, it's caterers using your kitchen. Mm-hmm. So I would bring you back to say, you know, that consideration, that profit-making organization tied with the non-resident in option one should be a viable option. Now, if I had 15 rentals that were profit-making organizations, I certainly would understand where you're coming from and say, yeah, we shouldn't be giving that amount of money a break, not by any means.
Okay. No, you're right. I guess when we're looking at the Marlbay Community Center Auditorium as just our prime example, but as you go down and look at these, you know, even the little studio or you know, the library room, it looks as though it goes across the board. To me, it looks as though option one goes across the board the best, the nicest, and would be the fairest to all four segments, you know, as it stands. For example, take the library room. And right now it's currently at 17 for nonprofits, and it would go to 20 for nonprofits. And it's at 19 for residents, and it would go to 20 for residents. I really don't think that that's, you know, an extremely big thing to ask for that room. It's a beautiful facility. And, you know, right now it's at 30 for for-profits, and it would basically remain at 30, and it would go from 24 for non-residents to 30. So the only one that we're really seeing a huge in the profit area, where we're seeing the decreases in the profit areas, are in the studio, the multi-purpose room, half the auditorium, and the full auditorium.
I have another question. And Joe, do you know which facility gets the most usage?
Yeah, what's the percentage by?
Thank you for the question, Commissioner Mahan. Yeah, I have a pretty good idea. When you're asking, when you're looking at a nonprofit, a non-resident rate at the library, I think you'd be hard-pressed to find that reservation out there. When you're looking at profit-making organizations that are in the studio, you might have a financial group that's coming in for a 1 or 2 hour or 3 hour seminar at the most. Mm-hmm. So those are these smaller venues, these smaller rooms, obviously have smaller events that happen into them, and they usually are lower scale, less participants, less hours. And so where you're looking at the main thrust of your rentals is going to be the auditorium and multi-purpose room combination at the community center, the complete Betts Hall. When we look at these other venues that are smaller, you also have affiliated clubs like the Tuesday and the Monday Charity Bridge that are in the library. Well, that's an agreement we have with the club. Fees are done a little bit separately, and we recover more than just direct costs. We have a mutual agreement with that club. So you'll find that there's different, when these groups come in, there may be something a little bit different. But when you're looking at the straight rentals, who's coming in really to rent our buildings out for large events, it's going to be the Community Center Auditorium, and it's going to be the Betts Hall Complete. And Commissioner Chair Solu certainly has an observation that says option one appears to be more equal all across the board, because we've combined just the two and the two, not three and one. So when you combine them and they're close, and realize the CPI here is calculated at 12.82%, which or 8.4%, which is significant because we haven't adjusted that for such a long time. Even that, and rounding it up, you look at the library down on the bottom, and you're right, it only goes up $3 for a nonprofit and a dollar for residents. That's a pretty good adjustment considering we haven't adjusted for such a long time, and then we're looking at a CPI at almost 12.5%.
Now,
so still very, very reasonable prices.
Now, now we can also make a recommendation to bring this back, like, not 5 or 6 years. We can say if we were to go with option one, which is pretty reasonable, bring it back in 3 years, something like that, instead of waiting 5 or 6 more.
Oh, I would hope so. I would hope that we would bring this back up, and I would be happy to bring this to you next year for
the
annual review.
Is, mm-hmm.
I think that's certainly, we would certainly want to do that, and we could come back next year and say, hey, we've implemented this for a year now, and this is the percentages of usage for each group, and these are the revenues. And you can, and we can outline, we can compare them with today's prices to the adjusted prices and tell you exactly how much you've increased your revenue stream.
I'm only thinking because it's reasonable, and in another couple of years we'd go another little bit more versus giving one big giant jump right now. That's all.
Yeah, staff would agree with the commission if you're saying that don't pile it all the rocks on once and then 5 years pile them on again. The CPI will help you adjust.
You have huge not-for-profits that are famous, like UNICEF, but for smaller groups that are just starting out, it might be a nice thing to consider if we go with option one as it is, that newer groups that are substantially smaller, say their revenue is under 30,000, under 50,000, whatever we might designate, under 100,000. I mean, you're talking small. That it wouldn't be, it would be very unique, which adds to the great town that this is, and to say, well, first time out, we're gonna let you go with our old prices, kind of like what is the rollback for Walmart? But do you know what I'm saying? Because they're the bread and butter, it sounds like to me. And I do understand what you're thinking about bringing in the for-profits by offering them more of a break, too. But there's maybe a little slight adjustment, and it will still help meet the financial needs, because especially at this time, it's kind of a double-edged sword. If we can just not increase any more than necessary, I think that in itself is going to be like a beacon for a lot of businesses of all types, So,
may I comment on? I'll try to comment on some of the questions I think I pulled out of there. I believe your idea of those struggling nonprofit organizations, those first timers, the ones that are on the bubble or on the fence, whatever you want to call it, they do have an option, and they have an option of going to the city council and requesting a fee waiver or a co-sponsorship. We recently did that with Dahlia Days. Unfortunately, it was not supported by council. But other nonprofits have come to council and been successful at getting their fees either waived or reduced to just direct costs. And staff has a schedule of just direct costs for facilities. So we look at what it actually takes for direct utility costs and direct maintenance costs for a facility or a room, and then we have an hourly rate that we charge. And we use that generally with co-sponsored events like the Teach Foundation, the Bird Festival is another co-sponsored event that get direct costs, direct hourly costs, if you will. So the options are out there for nonprofit organizations. If they feel they need financial support from the city and they really have a program that's going to benefit the city, if it's one that's going to bring in a lot of visitors, if it's one that's going to be a multiple-day event, these are all consideration I believe the city council looks at when they make their decisions to support or not support these sponsored programs. So I hope that helps you out with your question. I thought that you were asking about nonprofits that have struggled. They do have a venue at City Council, and I believe that on paper it looks like it's tough for profit-making organizations. It's going to be a little easier for profit-making because their price is going to be reduced. But as I explained earlier, there is a very few groups that are in the profit-making organization that use big special events like this.
Well, okay. I was just going to say I'm still option one is, to me, just stands out among all of them. So good.
What about, I mean, I know that you're trying to simplify, but I think there's a couple of us that are hung up on the cost reduction and then the cost increase. I mean, is it a crazy idea to take the three facilities that are used the most and have three options, non-resident and resident, stay in one, and then non-resident has its own rational increase in price and profit has its own rational increase in price and see how that nets out? I mean, these are the three most popularly used, and that way you're sort of being equitable about the increases that the non-resident and profit pay. And the residents, it's flat, so that seems to me like rational enough. And the nonprofits are going to pay a little bit more. I know in the spirit of simplification you didn't want to do that, but it seems like we're having a hard time trying to fit into to address the decrease that the profit-making groups experience. I know I'm not won't be popular for that, so I apologize. But I have to put it out there.
I think it makes sense.
With staff,
thank you.
The facilities studio going down to library room, I think those are non-issues. I mean, the fees are fairly minor. The increases are fairly minor. Option one seems absolutely fine. I think Commissioner Hale makes a really good point. The first three are the ones that we're a little bit more hung up with,
I agree.
Where we might want to have three categories instead of just the two. One for nonprofits and residents, one for non-residents, and one for
recommendation.
Would that make it easier or harder?
Why you'd want to isolate those facilities when you have a complete facility down here that you're not addressing, which is the vets hall.
Vets hall complete.
You put the four together then. That's fair, right?
Okay,
larger facilities versus smaller facilities.
If you want to say, you know, maybe you're presenting an option four that says option four is these options. However, it's nonprofit resident combined, non-resident profit making organization separate, and then you would steer me to the current.
Or can I make maybe one more comment before
I understand that.
The only, I think, actually looking at it even more closely, the one I'm the most hung up on is the auditorium. That's the big one because we're in the $100 an hour price range. So that's big, you know, that's a big chunk. So maybe that's the only one that we separate out in the fashion that Commissioner Hale just outlined.
What's the use of a full, I mean, again, kind of going back to percentages and so forth, I mean, if we look at this as a pie, all these rent facilities, how does the full rental of the auditorium stack up in terms of use as a percentage? Is that used, you know, 12% and the rest is lumped into 88? Or, I mean, what's the use of the full auditorium relative to the other facilities? Do you know?
That's a good question. The exact percentage I'm not going to have.
A ballpark?
But I can give you an idea kind of what happens, that the auditorium is split in two throughout the work week, and we have dance and exercise classes on either side throughout each day of the week. When it comes to Friday evening, it gets opened up, and it's ready for the big party either Friday night or Saturday. So the percentage of usage is going to be, it's going to be mixed in. I guess it's hard for me to quantify that. I mean, there's hours. We could look at your monthly reports on facilities and look and see what the usage is, but it's not going to break down the rooms. It's only going to keep it as the center. So the percentage of use for the auditorium, it's going to be tough. I could have the studio rented for 100% between emeritus classes, drawing classes, quilting classes, which are huge. Right now we've got like a 3-day quilt-a-thon going on up there in the studio. So, and the auditorium sitting empty. So it's tough to compare those by percentages of usage. I don't know how relevant that information would be in the long run. But maybe you're saying how many open weekends does the auditorium have? Maybe mm-hmm. that's a better one. Yeah. Probably average maybe one, maybe two the max per month.
So it's really used a lot. So I mean, I guess the
really
question
is.
Is, you know, if it's simplified for you, and I guess it's a struggle between trying to support the simplification approach and trying to support a rational mm-hmm. increase in cost recovery. Cost recovery, simplification, and what seems rational to the audience we're serving, the groups we're serving. So, I mean, if your suggestion about breaking it into three instead of two under option one makes sense across the board, I certainly wouldn't have an objection to that. It's just it is a little more complex to manage, but if that's not how it looks for staff, it wouldn't matter to me. I mean, I wouldn't have an opinion on whether breaking it into three for all or just these others, maybe that's more complicated. So I think the goal is, I mean, from my point of view, it's a cost recovery and making this, you know, sort of equitable across the audiences we're serving with focus and priority on the nonprofit residents or the high usage in there, all the things we've already talked about.
Also, I'd like to point out that going for cost recovery and making it equitable, we are, if we do go down to three categories, we are removing one category, so there is some simplification there in the combination of two of the categories, pardon me, and then moving down, you know, popping one category off. So I think there is some simplification there. It might not be the ideal thing of what staff might be looking for, but I do see the benefit in moving to three and moving with some simplification, but not overdoing it so that the
rates don't make sense.
So that the rates don't make sense, that's right. So that we see a large increase in one to get somewhat of a deduction in another.
Mm-hmm. May I Chair?
Yes.
So what I'm hearing then from the Commission, and it's just on the facilities, and I've got another matrix for parks, and I would like to address that in a moment, but if we could do a little bit of a closure on this and then move it maybe into the public area use permit fees and then maybe finish it up with the additional fees so we've got a consensus and then maybe the chair can go from there. Staff would send these are the we have current public area use permits. We have those are the fees that are outlined for the various parks. They all remain the same. And then there's a recommendation as well. Now, you'll see in the one-day use reservation, option one has been eliminated. You only see that option at Del Mar Barbecue, Lila Kaiser Fields, and Monty Young Tennis Courts. Rarely do we do one-day use reservations for the tennis courts. We do one-day use reservations probably somewhere not more than probably a half a dozen for the year over at Kaiser Barbecue. Some local groups like to go out there on various times of the year to have a little social barbecue, and we've been able to facilitate that with the one-day use reservation. But as staff reviewed the requirements for a public area use permit, there are six criteria, and I outlined those in your staff report, but the one that's probably most relevant is the expectation of isolated use or exclusive use. When you have expectation of exclusive use of an area, then the ordinance states you need to have a public area use permit. So staff felt that the recommendation eliminating a one-day use permit, which was extremely confusing to staff and to the public, and offer them just one public area use permit. Now, to use the parks in the city is no cost. It's a first come, first serve. They are free. You don't need a reservation, and we encourage people to go out there and play and have a great time in our parks. If you're going to meet any of the six criteria, you're going to erect a table or a structure, you're going to have alcohol, expectation of use, concessions, and there's a couple more, then you have to have a public area use permit.
Okay.
And if you have more than 75 people that are gathering, that's a big one. So I've got a group that wants to go out and use North Point, and there's 10 people, and they're not doing anything but a small little gathering. Do they need a public area use permit? No, they don't. It's a first come, first serve. So that was our reasoning why we wanted to eliminate the one-day use reservation. And again, the combination of user groups was similar to the ones we just previously reviewed for the facilities, current, and then option one and option two. I would certainly turn it over to the chair for further discussion. Thank you.
Okay, I'd like to open up the parks for discussion and see what you think. I see some perplexed looks there. I do have a comment right away. Well, let me let you guys comment first and see what you think.
We're looking at the current plus CPI, and then on fee option one, I notice you have one-day use up there. That's where that's going to be included, Joe?
Yes, the one-day use reservation mm-hmm. would currently be dropped as right. illustrated in option one.
I understand.
As well as option two.
Okay.
I just have a similar comment to the one I had for the facilities. And here's a bit even more glaring for the parks. There's a huge decrease in fees for the property. You know, we're trying to get up to speed on what the current fees are in the region and the county, but we're going, there's really a huge decrease in the for-profit. So I'm wondering if we're shooting ourselves in the foot there. And this comment is in connection with option one.
Which park are you looking at?
The recommended option one.
Recommended, okay.
And the comment is true for all parks. We're going down for the for-profits from 200 an hour down to 144. Yeah, that's a, 25% decrease? Nearly 30%?
If I may, the staff would comment that you probably have less profit-making organizations requesting public area use permits than you do profit-making organizations requesting. And I said earlier, nonprofits, with their ability to raise money, to have a core group of volunteers and continue to sustain a program increases their ability to absorb a small amount of increases that we're asking, and we're asking because we haven't increased these for a while.
No, absolutely. So, and the increase for the nonprofits is reasonable. There's no comment there. I mean, I don't – those fees look fine to me.
I have a comment on that when Judy's done.
Okay.
My comment is, like, if we take Del Mar Barbecue right now and the current one-day rate there, and then we take it to the recommended in one, it's like, almost 300% increase. It's 2.9% increase, or somewhere near there, 2.8% increase to go from... To go from there to go from 15 to 52. Do you see that?
And you're referencing a resident group. They say they want to go out to Del Mar Park, have a second grader's birthday party, and mm-hmm. it's going to cost them $23 to reserve the hillside picnic area.
I'm addressing right? the nonprofit issue.
Oh, the nonprofit's at $15.
That's correct, and it would go to 52. Is what I'm looking at.
Is that how that works?
Is that how that would work?
Yeah, one. You're right. They would be required to get a public area use permit, and then that use permit would be $36. But we've adjusted it because we've combined in option one, And the recommendation is 52. So, yes, you are reading that right. If a nonprofit organization wanted to come in, but they'd have to qualify for under the requirements for a public air use permit. So rarely will a nonprofit come in. You've got a nonprofit organization that's come in with less than 75 people, no alcohol, no bouncy house, no structures, no tables, no inspection of exclusive use. I don't think those conditions are going to be real. And I think that if a nonprofit group was to come in, they would have met different criteria where they would be warranted to have a public air use permit anyway.
Right, but I'm using, for example, what's used, for example, upcoming next month, there are probably several reservations on the book for the last week of school, for school parties, and they are not allowed to erect bounce houses, put up tables, or do any of those major things. They come in and they use, they reserve the facility because there's so many classes, and so their reservation would then go from 15 to 52. Is that what I'm reading?
Is there a current
because
one day?
Because each class is budgeted by, and I'm just using them as an example. I know what their budget is in my mind, and I know that each class is budgeted $50 for their entire end-of-the-year party.
Yeah. I'd like to answer your question regarding the schools, particularly Del Mar School.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about Del Mar School?
I am.
At Del Mar Park?
I'm talking about Del Mar PTA.
At Del Mar Park?
Correct.
During the weekday,
right.
Probably midday.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we work
closely,
very close mm-hmm. with the schools and the teachers. And through our agreement with the Joint Facility Use Committee, with the district and the city, we were able to make it very affordable for those teachers to reserve a small portion of the park to bring their class into.
Okay.
And we do not try to overcharge them at all. So we work very well with the principal out of Del Mar, and we have with all the teachers for years. And I think they've found some comfort in us. They come to us, they ask us, they tell us what they're doing and where they're going to be doing it, and we help make sure that the area is reserved for them. But can they can go out there and just use the park for free.
I understand that.
Okay.
I'm just using that as an example right. because I know what their budget is.
Staff knows that they can use it for free.
What
we know they want
really
a reservation, and so we help them out with the reservation.
Understood. What I was really trying to show, though, was that going from $15 maybe to $52 might be quite a leap across.
Okay. And my response, Chair Soli, would be that the majority of the one-day use reservations currently qualify and should be a public air use permit. So in reality, if you review those, they would be not only, they would go from $15 to $36 just by the sheer definition of their group.
Okay.
You're right, the fee is going up quite a bit. But I think the qualifier that most groups that are coming in qualify for a public air use permit that want the reservation. And if you wanted staff to continue with the one,
I mean, am I just seeing that this still applies? But then why is fee option two a public use area permit? I mean, I think I'm not understanding this.
I think it's a mistake.
You're right.
Is it a typo?
Up on the top, when it says it should say public air use permit instead
fee
of
option
one.
One. Okay,
fee
that's
one.
That's what I've been
about
hung up
that
on.
Is a
that's
public
why
area
we're
use
all hung up. Okay.
Oh, is that all it took? I'm sorry.
So there is no, so basically for the proposal is there's absolutely no one-day use at all. It's either a public area use permit, which you're saying most, I mean, many should have been anyway,
mm-hmm.
and which, you know, is a higher price in the current state. And so there's no one-day use. There's only public use area permit if somebody wants to reserve it. And again, the price jump, if you looked at the current to the future, is $20. Is that, you know, we can debate that next, but that's good clarification.
Yeah. May I add one thing, a bit of history, please, if I could? Thank you. You've been very kind with me tonight. I appreciate that. The one-day use reservation does make sense. I'm not saying that everything out there should be public air use permit. It was designed, as I recall, that groups that don't meet the criteria, don't meet the public air use permit criteria, to give them a chance to reserve an area to get the, you know, I'm having a one-year-old birthday party
right,
out there.
I don't want to
freak out. I got a lot of things going on. I want to make sure that the park is reserved for me. And we gave them a reduced rate.
But when
that applies, it's been very gray. Because they're the criteria meet that they meet, a lot of times they meet this and they get bumped right out of it. So,
do they go through a checklist where if I say, well, gee, I'm coming in, I want a one-day use, and you go, okay, well, check mark that you're not doing this, you're not doing that, you're not doing this, and sign here? That's how
exactly.
It works?
Exactly. And oftentimes they'll say, we're going to have alcohol. And before, we've just labeled that they're going to have alcohol in the public area on the one-day use reservation and sent that over to police. Well, that doesn't jive with your city ordinance. So if someone's going to have alcohol, they need to have a public area use permit approved by the director with conditions that go along with the permit and insurance. So it's kind of a tightening up across the belt with our insurance policy, our risk liability exposure, and so forth.
Okay. So what you're saying is currently public area use permits outnumber the one-day use by 8-1 or 8-2, 80% or better that come in are public area use permits. So really we're not talking about generally going from $15 to $52. What we're talking about now as an increase then would be generally going from $36 to the $52 for the nonprofits and residents going from $55 to $52. So residents would see a decrease and nonprofits would see an increase. And then we would go down to our combining of the non-residents and profits. And again,
no, staff would certainly take your recommendations from the previous fee structure and saying that you want to keep 1 and 2 together and isolate 3 and 4.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Residents, nonprofits.
I think that makes sense.
I see what you're saying, and I have no problem with the recommendation that
you're
bringing
forward. It's some simplification for staff, but it also
it gives our residents a break across the board, too. They save a couple dollars on all the rentals.
That's right. Personal residence, not somebody coming in for. Yeah. Okay, so I believe, first of all, are there any more questions for Mr. Woods? Okay. Mr. Woods is waving perhaps a comment.
I just wanted to make sure we did some housekeeping that it is a public area, it is a public hearing. And if we're done with questions with staff,
you might,
even though there's no one in the audience,
we should
open and close public comment.
Okay,
please.
Sorry about that. At this time, if there are any members of the audience wishing to step forward and comment on B1, which is the facilities and park fee schedule, please do so. Seeing no one step forward, I'd like to close the public comment at this time. And now I would be looking towards the commission and hoping that we can come together on a on a motion that would be to use the recommended fee schedule option 1 for the nonprofit and residents and to separate out non-residents and profits each with their own line item using the CPI. Is that something that somebody can make a motion on?
I will make a motion to adopt the fee outlined under option number 1.
And I think also maybe direct staff to specify in more detail the additional fees and when a particular fee is going to apply as a required fee and when it's going to be optional and what the terms are of when it's going to be applied.
Okay, so can we get that read back to us just so we're clear? I just want to make sure we're all clear.
Staff would be happy to try to reiterate that motion.
Great, thank you.
I believe the motion was to, that commission was recommending staff to proceed with option one, which would include all the fees adjusted through the CPI and use the recommended dollar amounts for the hourly rates. We would combine in option one the nonprofit and the residents, and we would make that one category, and the second and third category would be nonprofit non-resident, and then profit-making organizations. You would also, your motion is to eliminate the one-day use reservation and to include the additional fees with details illustrating when they would be applied.
And just to clarify, maintaining non-residents and for-profits under the current fee schedule plus CPI, rounded up to the nearest dollar.
As shown in the recommended example.
So yeah. Nonprofits and right. residents are grouped as one category under fee option one. Recommended fee option one. And non-residents and for-profits remain at their current levels as recommended with CPI, taking into account the CPI.
Okay. I think I understand that now. So as we go across the board, facilities and parks, the fee schedule recommendation would be to combine the nonprofit and the residents and use option one recommended fees. We would also, you're also including the non-resident and profit-making organizations as they stand, including the CPI and the recommended fees, which is basically 72-105 on the first column. Okay. And so I understood that, and that's on both the public area use permits and the facilities. And then you were obviously eliminating the one-day use reservation and including more details on the additional fees. Mm-hmm.
We got it.
I definitely understand the motion. Thank you.
Correct. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Okay. Thank you very much. And let us move on now. Sorry. Excuse me. We are moving on to C, unfinished business. C1 is the discussion of the service reduction due to the Council's decision regarding parks and halftime position. For this, I will turn it over again to Mr. Woods.
Thank you, Chair Solo and Commission. C1 is brought to you with the discussion of service reductions due to the City Council's decision regarding the halftime position in the Parks Parks Division. After a discussion of the service reduction options, Commission staff would like to recommend acceptable options in the reduction of park maintenance and service. The elimination of a halftime parks maintenance worker 2 position represents about an 11% reduction in the current staff workforce allocated for parkland maintenance. The financial savings from this reduction will be approximately $5,600 for the remaining months of this fiscal year and is estimated at $22,500 for the upcoming fiscal year. Commission should note that the budget was adopted the last budget workshop, and it does reflect that reduction of $22,500 from our budget, as including that halftime position. City Council has decided to continue the reduction of service to the city-owned parklands through their rulings on not to recruit and fill the vacant halftime maintenance worker 2 position allocated for the Parks Division. This equates to 1,400 hours of service, annual service, for city parks, which will definitely result in various service options. Staff, we certainly have felt this since 05, and having another halftime position cut out of our budget warrants this discussion. Their decision to reduce our department by an additional 1,040 hours will certainly reduce our service levels, and which have been consistently being reduced since 2005, the last 3 years. Staff feels the savings from this action may not be realized, as the crews could experience greater exposure to overtime cost, and this exposure would create a lack of available resources to cover shifts when personnel is absent or due to sickness. And right now, I believe your overtime budget in the parks and the wellness facilities is $500 for each division. And remember, we had recalled that we have an overtime policy that if someone gets called back for an emergency, it's an automatic 4.5 hours of overtime. The $500 does not go very far. I would continue that the exposure to overtime heightens the community and staff's responding to emergencies such as natural and man-made disasters. Oftentimes, since the last ammonia spill, your parks and maintenance staff are out there helping with the evacuation. We help with the operations of the Emergency Operations Center. We are training responders with emergency people, so emergency crews, so we can work with them. So you have individuals out here with multiple hats and multiple expectations from staff for them to cover the community's needs. When you take these out, these out of the workforce, you certainly limit your abilities to response across the board. And how we work with public services and the police and fire certainly would be affected. Continual reduction in resource allocations to parkland maintenance only perpetuates the costly maintenance management plan. When maintenance personnel become reactive to park operational systems, service and repairs of those systems become more costly. Additionally, when park systems are in disrepair and in need of service, the city increases its liability exposure and also could potentially have an increase in claims against the city. Reductions in service should consider City Council's current priorities, and you certainly have a copy of those priorities, and also state and federal regulatory requirements and current staffing limitations. Other duties will directly be reduced by the number of department employees available to respond to emergencies and other city services. A staff recommends the following possibilities for reduction of service. And I have four items down here, and one is a spraying of sidewalk weeds, something that's time-consuming. We do it now at least twice a year, sometimes more frequent, depends on the weather and the rain. And it's certainly more prudent to spray small weeds as opposed to spraying 4, 5, 6, or 8-inch weeds. But it's something that we have to consider. We also are the caretakers of all the grounds that are around our buildings and our parking lots, and that might be an area that we would reduce service levels. Our responsiveness, obviously we've talked about responsiveness to services and emergencies, and I just think it's very important to understand when staff is on, we have the ability to maneuver our resources to the most needy spot, if you will. And if public services calls us up and we've got a major windstorm, and the last time we had it was last winter, and we held over two people from their duties, and they were going out in the streets with the street crews and public works crews clearing limbs and trees and stuff like that. So those bodies are important to the community, and we'll have a lack of response when that comes up. And then the fourth recommendation is to reduce our service to smaller and remote parks such as, and I've listed Bayshore Bluffs, Monte Young, and Mariner Park. Mariner Park is a beautiful little getaway down on the Embarcadero. It's sandwiched between Ken Scott's new place and the Associated Pacific. And I got a little more detail on that one because right now it's under construction, and there's a lot of changes that are happening right next to where Mr. Scott has his construction, and he's been willing to work with us. We're going to redesign the planter so it's a little bit more open, more colorful. We're rearranging the sidewalk that he's bringing in, and with his help, we'll be tearing out the aggregate concrete and putting in a brushed concrete so it matches some of the existing. We're going to eliminate some trip hazards. It's going to be more consistent. We're going to try to open up the performing from the direction of City Council. And so in the last 8 weeks, staff has identified every maintenance person's duties on a day-to-day basis, how many hours they spend on a certain task, and what percentage of their overall hours they're here and where they're being spent. So that report should be it's being forwarded now to City Manager's office, and then they'll be preparing a report for council out of there. So right now, Mike has let me know that, yes, he has reduced some services already to some of these remote parks just because he's had to. And so that concludes. Just keep in mind, staff feels that we cannot absorb an additional 20 hours per week with the current allocated resources. Therefore, it is inevitable that the service reductions be implemented to locations, and our recommendation is that aren't reflective of high visitor usage nor revenue-generating venues. And so those are kind of things that we've been targeting. I'd certainly open it up for questions at this time.
Oh, I have a question. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Thank you. more of a comment, really. It's so great to walk into a clean restroom with soap available. It's really special. And even the smaller parks, I would still suggest 2 to 3 times a week, because you just never know. At least twice a week. The other 1 through 3 can be done by volunteers. You can even enlist students to start using experimental organic ways to reduce the weeds. You can make it a community project or a school project. And so 1 through 3 to me is no problem. But even the smaller parks, I mean, well, just
one suggestion I had for item 4 for the smaller parks is there any potential in offering local businesses the opportunity to sponsor these smaller parks?
Oh.
And to
like an adopt a park program.
Adopt a park, put your name out there, but you have to go out there once a week to to maintain or take care and do what you can. Is that even realistic? I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there.
Thank you, Commissioner Mahan. Very realistic. Very much in the forefront. And staff actually met with 2 organizations today.
Great.
Actually 3. I take that back. I was at a meeting with the district, school district, and in our joint facility use committee, I had mentioned to the principal at Del Mar that we would love to have the EBUIC kids come out and adopt Del Mar Park. And what that entails, it basically is to go through the park maybe once a week or twice and pick up trash. And maybe pick up weeds. Not cleaning, not using power tools or chemicals, but just some basic stuff to keep it aesthetically pleasing.
Mm-hmm.
What part of our option would be is to, as we enhance some of the parks, is to buy this trash enclosure. I've been talking about this, and I'm getting dangerously close, that it's a solar-powered trash compactor, but it also has the ability, the side unit for recycling. That's mm-hmm. lockable. And we would have placards on both sides identifying the Adopt-a-Park group, and then they would have access to the recycling, and they could use that as a fundraiser for their group. We would have a more clean park. We would have community outreach, and I think that is definitely a win-win.
Mm-hmm.
The other organization was the Chamber. I met with them today on some other issues, and I had mentioned something about Mariner Park and maybe adopting a small... Maybe some of the groups down there could adopt these smaller parks. And if we go there once a week, maybe the second or third one would be from the nonprofit group or a special community group of some sort. So there's a possibility
together,
that the Chamber could come through on that one for us. And the third, if I may, is the roundabout, in which we are now in charge of maintaining and weeding. And that one, there's been some interest from the Morro Bay Firemen's Association to take over this as an Adopt-a-Park. It was not in their discussion at last night's meeting, but the meeting previously, they had mentioned it to their members. It did not go over very well because they're not knocking on my door. But I have not given up on them, and I think that there still might be a possibility that they may be the group. If they're not, we would definitely be actively seeking another group to come up and possibly help out with adopting that particular park.
From a business perspective, how extensive a marketing could the business do at the park that they adopt? I mean, are we allowing them to put placards of a certain size? Are we able to determine that? I mean, what advantages could we offer to local businesses for adopting a park?
There are several incentives for groups. We like to keep that small, quality, you know, not something that's not really huge and ostentatious. Is there guidelines and written guidelines? No, there is not. Is there some practical applications? Totally.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for the roundabout, I was just thinking, does Morro Bay, I think it's called Beautiful Morro Bay, the organization, they used to adopt plants and stuff. Maybe we could contact them.
We can certainly put our feelers out to the Morro Bay Beautiful organization. I know they have an active group that goes out and trash picks up. I think they pick up trash on Monday mornings, and they get together for coffee and head out. So there would be a group that we could approach. But I'm certainly eager to get into these other community groups to have them come through and reach out for Adopt-A-Park. And it's not a huge endeavor for them. It's just a matter of maybe having the commitment for once a week, go through, pick up some, keep us from going under, you know, because we kind of need some help.
What I really see here for me is, yeah, 1 through 3 I see is easily being adopted by groups of volunteers. 4, not so much. And especially what red flags me is the restroom service reduced from daily to once weekly. I know that Bayshore Bluffs has a restroom. Monty Young has a restroom. I think that if we get some of these other areas picked up by volunteers, it would really behoove us as a service to the community to make sure that those restrooms are the restrooms. And I'm not saying walk through the entire park and pick trash up, but that the restroom is serviced daily. Mm. The restroom itself serviced daily. And I just don't, that for me is a basic service.
Right.
And I think if we're cutting back, right, we need to provide.
Especially when, I mean, these restrooms are being, at least at Monty Young, they're being used by kids. So you want clean restrooms.
And I would think it would behoove us to have somebody in the restroom anyhow daily, just to making sure somebody didn't stick something in the toilet and it's not backing up and coming out. And I mean, you know, I own a hotel with 60 toilets, and I know what a toilet can do to a place. So I think that they need daily checking. I just don't. I see it as a maintenance, more of a maintenance nightmare, not to check on those daily. So for me, I would say for these, I get 1 through 3, 4, most of it, but that bottom one is just a red flag for me. I would ask you to re-examine that. That's all I'm asking for.
Agreed.
So we're talking about a motion to do that. I mean, are we in agreement on, or I guess we don't have to be in agreement, but really taking in 1 through 3 and 4 potentially could be, you know, again, if there's any other maintenance. I mean, the restroom service continues once a day. Other maintenance would be sacrificable. While there's pursuit of community service efforts to supplement that resource. Is that?
Mm-hmm. Yes, cleaning is great prevention of a lot of problems.
Absolutely, I think, yeah. So is that a motion?
I will make a motion.
Okay.
I will make a motion that we recommend that staff, in support of a reduction of services in items 1, 2, and 3, sidewalk weeds, ground surrounding city-owned buildings and parking lots, responsiveness to department, as well as city's required services or emergencies, meaning if something significant occurs, resources won't necessarily be redeployed from their current tasks. And then as it relates to number 4, which is smaller and remote parks, such as Baywood Bluffs, Monty Young, and Mariners Park, restroom services does continue to be provided once a day, but other maintenance activities on those parks would cease to exist or cease to be supported until or unless it gets adopted by a business or community group.
The only okay, and so discussion. Open that up for discussion. The only
the motion.
That was her motion.
We need a
I'm sorry. Second.
I'll second the motion.
Apologize. Okay. Open it for discussion. The only caveat I would have to that would be, Mr. Woods, I would ask that in the weeds are sprayed currently in city parks, walkways, and parking lots, as well as city sidewalks in both the downtown and North Main Street locations, that if we could somehow notify the business people and ask them if they could try and keep weeds off of the sidewalk from in front of their, if they could maybe adopt the sidewalk in front of their business.
That's a good idea.
If we could contact them somehow.
It's litter, it just detracts from what we're trying to do, which is basically attract tourists and visitors. And quite frankly, the reason why people vacation here is for the services that we provide. And not to mention not only the Recreation and Parks Department, but also like the Harbor Department and that whole and the waterfront and what the chambers put together. So, we're a major reason why people come here. Oftentimes, oh, we love the parks. Oftentimes you hear that, more than not. They come here for events that are held up in our facilities. So we are definitely a major attractor for tourists and visitors. And we need to keep that image. These parks are what the city owns, and we're the stewards, and we need the resources to maintain them. And when we don't have them, we need to have that guidance, and that's why I'm here. That guidance says, you know what, take your resources, these are your priorities, and these are the things that you probably could not address as frequently, but we would have actively seeking sponsors throughout the community. And I think that the combination would certainly be successful. Tough, yes, but we're more than willing for that challenge to happen.
So I would agree with the motion, except I would ask that we do maybe place in there that staff could notice the people whose services are going to be cut off in the sidewalk. He's going
to
kill me.
Staff apologizes. I didn't mean to answer. I did mean to answer your question. I meant to say at the end there was we are going to go to City Council with this report. We will identify the reduction of service at their level and hopefully transform all that information over to the public.
Okay.
And they'll be able to understand. And the business people, particularly the business people.
Mm-hmm. Okay, because I think that there's a lot of people that I know downtown that would be willing to take on the small stretch of sidewalk in front of their storefront. And
well,
I think they pretty much do that now.
Yeah, most of them do.
You know, a lot of them. So, mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So you have a motion and a second
on
the table.
Yes, we have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Thank you.
Okay.
C2, continued discussion on the activity fair.
Chair Solu and Commission, the last item brought to you is C2, which is the continued discussion of the activities fair. Last year, Commission had brought up this idea of having an activities fair to highlight and showcase some of our programs and services and hopefully promote them so we could increase registration and so forth. We pursued the concept at the staff level. We've met with various supporting groups, the Senior Citizens Incorporated, the Active Aging Task Force, Cuesta College, to name a few. We're getting a pretty positive response. We looked at particular dates to hold our activities fair. We've come up with July the 25th. We're continuing to hone in this program and the scope of the program and what we're offering. It's been difficult at the staff level only because it's a new program. And we have enough resources to cover the programs that we have now. And, you know, not only parks was reduced in 05, but our entire department was by about 20%. So we eliminated a lot of programs. 0% cost recovery programs are no longer part of our offerings. The Easter egg hunt, the lighted boat parade, the holiday tree lighting, Halloween haunted house. So these programs went away in 05. It's hard for us to resurrect them without a revenue source. We have staff, again, staff has put it on the line to do the holiday tree lighting. And it's just so near and dear to their hearts. We know what it means to the community, particularly the families in the community that come out. So there's a special effort to get that program. But I digress. The activities fair, unfortunately, is a zero cost recovery. It's just all output. And so we need help. And right now, the concepts are the program would be on July 25th. It would be 10 till 2. It would be in the auditorium, studio, lobby, and also the front sidewalk at the Morro Bay Community Center. It would be entitled Recreation and Fitness Expo. We would have, it would be a celebration of Recreation and Parks Month, which is July. We'd be exposing, like I said, activities and services. We would present them to the public through information booths. We would have demos. We would have some small activities. We would certainly have through the games to entertain the kids. We'd have some refreshments, just two things, popcorn and pink lemonade. Not just regular lemonade, pink lemonade. That's important. So I've outlined some of these things that we've talked about, and I'm looking at commission, and I'm thinking that, yes, we are on the right track. Staff would love to continue with this program, but at this point I'm going to have to ask the commission for some commitment. And if the majority of the commission is not available to commit to not only day of the program, but also some support of the program, then we would have a difficult time to continue on the success of this particular event. So what I would be looking for is maybe not the commission to come up and MC the program, but we need an MC. We need folks to help with registration. We need folks to come in and man the recreation parks booth. We need help at the carnival, and we're going to need help with the refreshments. We're going to need help distributing flyers and posters, and possibly a drawing if we're going to do something like that.
Can I ask a question on the drawing idea?
Sure.
I mean, is there a way for cost recovery? I know typically we, you know, drawings, I mean, giving away a bike, this fitness, something fitness would make sense if we could get a donated, you know, whatever, mountain bike, whatever it might look like. I mean, just in terms of fundraising for the city, who's putting out time and effort on this project to make it viable for the department.
Is there a way to make it cost 100% cost recovery? I don't think so. I think you get a percentage. I don't think this is the type of activity that you'd even want that. I think you're going to get more out of, if we were to implement, more out of the exposure to your programs, registration. And right now, we feel the staff does a good job in getting the word out. We've got a town of 10,000. It's extended on the Estero Bay de Los Osos and Cayucas. We've included them in all of our sports and other activities. We're on the internet. We're in the schools. We send out emails. I think you all get our spotlight, which is about a quarterly little email we blast out to about 600 people at one time. So we're getting the word out. Mm-hmm. It isn't that our classes are not full. We're starting some new classes, too, which is exciting. So part of the premise was to get exposure. I think that we have done a good job at exposing mm-hmm. our classes and offering those and getting the word out. But we're certainly, you know, we can't back down from a challenge. Staff would love to have an activity during Recreation Parks Month. We haven't had one for a long time. So we're excited, yeah. But we're going to need some help. We're going to need some volunteer help, and it comes from the commission because you generated this concept, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. And we're hoping that as we bring in nonprofit organizations such as Cuesta, the seniors, AAA, that they bring two or three volunteers as well. So there may be a chance that we branch out. There might be an organization out there, too, that could come help us out with some things, the Eagles Club, the Rotary Club, the Lions Club, the Kiwanis Community Foundation, without a doubt. So there's some venues there, but we're going to need some help tracking them down, and we're running out of time.
It just doesn't have to be commissioners, right? We can bring family and friends. And ask
I would hope so. You bet.
And what about the idea that
Commissioner Hale
brought up about the raffle? If somebody donated a bike or something.
I put drawing here. I'm certainly would encourage that. Yes, let's do that. And maybe we put that. Maybe that money can go into the commissioner's fund. Yeah, right now your balance is zero. You've been budgeted for zero for a couple of years because you took a big hit in 2005, too.
What happened to our 200 we used to have?
Yeah, that was part of the budget cuts. Welcome to the world. Yeah, it's a tough one, Commissioner Munoz. But yeah, and so if that was the case, I can't expect this program to be that cost recovery. But I'm looking at it at a different point of view.
Yeah, you're kind of saying you're gonna measure the success of the program by. And, you know, seeing if there's an increase in participation, you'll have a direct, you know, you'll be able to say 6 months after this event, did we increase our existing programs, can't deal with the new ones, but by X, and if so, you know, it's indirectly cost recovery. It's just not, you know, at the event per se, if indeed it's successful, and then you're determining whether or not to continue it every year or every other year or whatever seems to make sense, right? Is that what you're thinking, how you're thinking
That's
about
exactly
it?
How we're mm-hmm. thinking. We're also thinking about fostering these relationships with community groups.
Well, that was my next question.
The big thing is what we've been trying to do is we're trying to partner as best we can. And I've been outreaching to not only Cal Poly, if you've seen the efforts there, but the district, the Chamber of Commerce, service clubs, the Lions Club just built bat houses for us that are going up at the cloisters. Those are the kind of things that they all add up to success of the city. And we're not looking for all the credit, but we certainly want to be participating.
Have we nixed the idea of offering to private businesses the option to pay a fee to have a booth at the fair or at the expo?
We have not nixed the idea.
So that's a potential revenue source.
That's a potential revenue source, but it's also time-consuming. There's cold calls on the phone. There's cold and warm calls, a little bit of FaceTime when you're going out there soliciting. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you got to wear out the sneakers. To get out there, okay. And it's a tough time to be soliciting donations and stuff like that. But if groups out there that have a recreational element or fitness element that want to participate, mm-hmm. we certainly should encourage that. We haven't nixed the idea. We haven't included it because we haven't pounded the pavement. Mm-hmm. We haven't mm-hmm. been making the calls. We've been diligent on the task that we've had at hand right now. And so hopefully we can get a few volunteers.
Well, I'd be happy to go contact local businesses for that are, again, health and fitness related and to, you know, just test the waters and see if they're interested in having a booth.
Or even if just to have a game plan where or have some kind of policy established, even if it's passive, and somebody hears about it because there's great publicity and says, hey, I'd like to, you know, I want to have my business there. You've got a price sheet here. Not like, oh, I don't know, maybe we, you know. I mean, you've got a plan to support that request. It could just be as simple as that.
I definitely agree with that concept. I think how I would like, and this basically is the end of my report. Now, I've opened it up for questions, but I would say that maybe the commission, if they're considering to continue the program and they want staff to actively pursue the connections that we've had, and we want to do the activities fair in July, and you all are agreeing that that's what we're going to be doing, then we would look for commissioners to contact staff, contact my office, and we could help put you in to where you're available. So, hey, I'm available the day of the event and the night before. I'm available 2 weeks before. Then obviously we want to use you as a flyer distributor or a poster distributor, so that's what we'd be looking for.
Okay, let me then ask, July 25th, is there a commitment on this commission for July 25th?
I'm here.
Could you?
Yeah, I can check my calendar if I'm available. Certainly, I'll be there.
I will be there.
I cannot commit. I believe that we are on a family vacation that week, but I have to double-check my calendar.
not moving that.
So we'll be asking you to maybe support us indirectly.
Yeah, prior to and find some volunteers.
Yeah, that's very important, too.
Absolutely.
So we appreciate that effort.
You know, one suggestion or thought is that, is it possible, I know I hate to put more things on your list, to just do a, can you send out a, you know, an email to the commission about here's some of the ideas or areas we could use help, and then let us, you know, chew it over and offer up what we can offer up?
We will do a, probably one better. We could probably outline all the areas that we need. When you get that, fill in where you can.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. You can donate your time, dedicate your time, and then ship it back to us, and then we'll kind of put all those together and then go with the game plan.
Have we set up a time for this? I mean, is it like 4 hours, 6 hours?
10 until 2.
10 until 2? Is that in there somewhere?
10 to 2 we thought would be a good idea. We get a couple of hours before lunch, a couple of hours afterwards. We're only serving popcorn and pink lemonade. Mm-hmm. And we feel that, you know, lunch could be on their own. Now, if we felt like we needed to do something different and do a big barbecue, maybe that would be a recommendation for the previous year, for the next year. We're trying to keep it short, small, and high quality. So, we're looking for.
So then from our commission, do we have a recommendation, or rather, pardon me, is there a motion for us to recommend to staff that we move forward with the activities fair dated for July 25th, 2009, between 10 and 2, and that we will review the support materials that we get from staff and schedule ourselves accordingly?
Yes.
Do we have a motion for that?
So moved, as stated by Chair. Mm-hmm. So
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Very good. Opposed? None. Okay, we move to D then, new business. We see none. Declaration of future agenda items, anybody? I see none.
Do we
pardon?
Future agenda is bringing the rules for review for the dog park.
Yes, staff has noted that a future agenda item would be rules for the dog park.
Did we also have, I'm sorry.
I'd like to continue, if I could, Chair, that your next meeting will be in June. It'll be the first Thursday in June we have scheduled. Staff is anticipating our meeting as a Recreation and Parks Commission to start at 5 o'clock and to end before 6 p.m., when we would adjourn and reconvene in a joint meeting with the Harbor Advisory Board at 6 p.m. this next meeting in June. And 2 weeks from now, thank you. And it's basically, just so you know, it's a two-part agenda. The first would be a presentation by the city attorney, who's going to be doing a Brown Act presentation for both advisory boards. And then we would follow up with an update by staff regarding the Coleman Embarcadero Improvement Plan.
Very good.
So I'm hoping that we can take care of a little bit of business. We will do the consent items like we did tonight. We have a couple of program evaluations for you. And so it should be fairly quick on our front end. And then we can adjourn, take a small break, and then we can come back at 6. So your future agenda items, we certainly have one as far as that joint meeting with the Harbor. And then we will certainly put on, probably not for June, but maybe for June, depending on how things go.
Okay, cheers.
How are you doing?
Good.
Do you have something that you want to talk about?
No.
Can you put up with someone? Okay, wonderful. I didn't know.
It's okay.
You know that already. I talked to you that you had some issues.
I could get some.
Don't bring any issues.
Would that be okay?
No.